Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our confessional meditation is found in the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom all are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. In Christ Jesus, the captain of our salvation, our all-sufficient Redeemer, dearly beloved. What a majestic, sweeping text with which to begin our spiritual Lenten pilgrimage. It is also very reassuring for us to know that the God of creation, almighty and all-powerful, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, is also our loving and compassionate God of our redemption. We are moved and comforted as we trace with loving dedication the way of sorrow and suffering which Jesus trod for us and for all mankind. Again this morning, as we are gathered for worship, with a vivid memory of the divine drama which forever changed the course of history, we remember Christ's passion, his crucifixion, his resurrection. And powered by the Holy Spirit, these assure us personally of our salvation and heaven itself. In a confessional mood, we come penitently, our lives blemished with sin, and ask the Savior for cleansing, for strengthening. May we therefore, in this moment of worship, on the basis of the text before us, and led by God's Holy Spirit, consider together God's grace in Christ truly transforms suffering. First and foremost, of course, we realize that the suffering of Jesus was indeed transformed by the grace of God into complete and eternal triumph. Satan's seductive and deceitful plans, executed by his pitiful human pawns, had only destruction, defeat, and death in mind as they hurried Christ to the cross. Ironically, then, God's plan from all eternity used the very weapons of sin and hell itself, suffering, pain, abandonment, betrayal, and finally death, for the ultimate victory of heaven, the payment of all the sins of mankind, the opening of heaven's door, the warm embrace of our loving Heavenly Father for Jesus' sake. The perfection of our redemption was indeed attained through the suffering and death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The captain of our salvation, in obedience to his Father's will, is raising us from the dust of despair by means of his suffering, the bloody sweat of the garden, the cruel bite of the scourge inflicting untold and unimaginable pain, the nails piercing his hands and feet and spilling his precious life, sinless life's blood down the rude cross, anointing it and transforming it from a symbol of shame and disgust to a symbol of hope and glory and faith and salvation. All to satisfy the perfect justice of his Heavenly Father and to bring us rebellion children to glory, reconciled to the Father so that we can today intimately, warmly, confidently say, Abba, Father. This convinces us this morning that our sufferings too are by God's grace transformed into triumph. The triumph over sin, death, and hell is ultimately also the triumph in our lives whereby we endure suffering and hardship and trial. This salvation perfected by the Savior's suffering and originating in the gracious heart of our Heavenly Father can be lovingly applied to God's people, piercing the dark night of sorrow and loss and grief, piercing it with the clear brightness and the hope of heaven. quieting the fear-filled hearts of man, soothing the deep wounds inflicted by broken relationships, splintered homes, and angry rejections by means of the Christian virtue learned painfully but hopefully well, whereby we confess, repent to each other, and then forgive each other within our Christian homes. Easing the sharp, almost unbearable physical pain of illness and disease as they threaten to reduce our bodies to empty, lifeless shells which will then be lowered into the grave to return to the dust. But thanks be to God, who sends us, his ambassadors, after having called us into his kingdom by the sacrament of holy baptism, as his messengers of peace and hope, to minister to the grieving and to the suffering, to challenge and encourage God's people in their time of testing and trial. To each suffering Christian, then, as a result of Christ's suffering and death and resurrection, we, as his ambassadors, as his spokesmen, can proclaim the good news that it became the God of all grace to provide a perfect Savior for each one of us. That message and assurance, powerful, mysterious, miraculous as it is, indeed transforms suffering from embitterment and disfigurement to something triumphant and filled with hope. Through the cross, which we proudly proclaim, we help God's children come to grips with life, yes, even life at its worst. In the growing anxieties and fears of life, we certainly cannot drink that cup of which the Savior drank. He challenges us as he challenged his disciples. Can you drink of this cup of which I am going to drink? And our answer is, by no means. He drank this cup bearing the sins of the world and doing battle with Satan and death as the captain of our salvation. But what we can do is bear our crosses in patience and hope for the strengthening of our faith, and if it be according to his holy will and in our best interest, the ultimate victory and healing which comes as the gift of the Holy Spirit to us all. In a world of escalating fear and increasing despair, it is indeed our blessed privilege to suggest to those to whom we minister in Christ's name that suffering can indeed be transformed into meaningful and creative moments of growth and insight. The plaintive and pleading question, which I'm sure that many of us have discerned in the eyes of our parishioners as they're convulsed by pain, why me? Or could it be that God is punishing me for my sins? We can come with a firm conviction of scriptures and answer, no. God has poured out his wrath upon his only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary, and the sins have been paid for. And if they persist in their question, why me, then we can perhaps direct them to another question, why Jesus, and remind them and ourselves of the Father's love, which spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. We too must know and share with each other in Christ's church that as we grow in our trust and in our faith, even excruciatingly painful experiences can be used in building beauty into life. In the midst of human tragedy, and certainly we're keenly aware of this as we join mankind in cowering beneath the radioactive mushroom of possible self-incineration, we certainly can feel with the rest of humanity that where there is spirit-created faith, there comes inevitably the strength and God's grace that he has promised in abundance. This morning we are about to experience together the tangible love of Christ, his broken body, his shed blood. All this is made possible by his being submissive to the will of his heavenly Father. In this solemn celebration, then, as we approach the Lord's table with penitent hearts and the firm resolve to correct and improve our sinful lives, our hands and hearts are united, first of all, with those strong hands of the captain of our salvation, And then we are united also in faith with each other in a very singular and a very beautiful way. May we resolve in this hour then of communing together to consecrate ourselves anew to our mission of pastoral care and concern, comforting one another, assuring one another that by God's grace in Christ, our sufferings are truly transformed into victory, peace, hope, and joy. Amen. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.